Hello and welcome to Burkamp Wonderland. We are an Arsenal podcast and my wonderful guests tonight are we have Mr. Gunaholic, who had a wonderful time on the Stevenson's Rocket on his way home from the game on Sunday, and he was hungry and he was thirsty, and it wasn't fair, was it, Dave?
Absolutely wasn't. It was like going back in time, going from Vauxhall to Reading. Quite why I had to go from Vauxhall to Reading, we haven't got time to go into. But trust me, I hope I never have to do it again.
Oh, dear. Right. Also, we have Mr. Fife, who has already spilt his fragois all over his keyboard and wanted us to video chat with him. So I hope all of you have cancelled the video chat and nobody looked to see Fife strolling around his kitchen in his underpants. You all right, Mr. Fife?
Very well, thank you. And that's why you should always have a surf at home. How's everyone doing today? Everyone well?
I think we are all tickety-boo, which is good. It's taken us a little while, but me, Jason... Oh, actually, I won't give away the last two guests. It's meant to be a surprise. From sunny Cardiff, it's Mr. Davis, who has finally recovered from his highly emotional weekend that brought on a terrible case of his man hay fever and he had streaming eyes. Is that right, Jace?
Ah, mate, I'm an emotional retard, so yeah.
Were you a bit like me when I'm watching Love Actually? I have to go and hide myself in a room to get over it.
I'm not being funny. Puppies could die and I wouldn't be that upset.
Oh, bless your socks. And finally, it's the man who we all probably know had lunch with the next Arsenal manager today, but he'll goddamn deny it. It's Jeff Arsenal. You all right, Jeff?
Daniel, how the devil are you? You okay?
I'm sitting here in socks and a T-shirt with no pants on. And you know who cares? Not me.
I'm a bit like Davis, you know. I'm still hurt. My heart is still hurting from the weekend. It really is.
Oh, good. Yes. But you finished your weekend off in style, but we're not going to talk about that, are we?
No, I don't think it would be appropriate.
You bought your big box, you bought your little box, and you had a cardboard fish. And it was wonderful. Right, oh, we will start with Mr. Fife, because you haven't been on in a while. What was your thoughts on the Burnley game?
I thought we played extremely well. It's probably the best I've seen us play at home, perhaps even since the Tottenham game, whenever that was, back October, November time. I thought the team looked cohesive. We passed the ball well, and it was kind of reminiscent of, you know, it was quite fitting that we played the style of football we saw from the early years of Wenger, kind of the years that a lot of people have been pining for. I mean, if you were being cynical, you could say Burnley didn't turn up as much as perhaps their fans did. Their fans were brilliant. But listen, it was fantastic to see some passing and some kind of Wenger ball in his last ever home game. I felt that Chambers, and he's one person I've been quite critical of in the past. I felt he's now looking a lot more comfortable. I think the performance he put in with Mavropanos, I mean, those two look like the most comfortable centre-back partnership we've had all season, in honesty. And also, you know, again, you don't want to be too cynical, but there's a few players who played so well, it makes you think, well, you know, if you've played like this more often throughout the season, we might not even be in this position where Wenger's leaving. I mean, you look at players like Iwobi and Chambers, they've really turned up. I mean, Iwobi, you know, he got two pre-assists. He got an assist and he got a goal. I thought he played fantastic. The midfield had good shape to it. I still have question marks over where Xhaka fits into the long term. You know, with a new manager coming in, he's quite slow on the ball. And there's a few question marks there. But, you know, by and large, we played very well. It was the first time I've seen us dominate a game like that in a very long time. And also, there's been a lot of question marks, I think, in the press around, you know, people kind of saying that Wenger's transfer strategy in the last year or so hasn't aligned well, and it's kind of been a bit mismatch, pointing to having both, you know, two £50 million centre forwards. And actually, I think Aubameyang and Lacazette played a lot better than, you know, people thought they would. And, you know, a lot of people didn't think that they could play together. And you know, even I was very sceptical of the idea of, you know, putting one of the best centre forwards in the world on the left wing. But look at Aubameyang, the way he moves off the ball, the pace he's putting in, getting back, the way he's linking up so well with Laka. You know, who would have thought that Lacazette would be getting so many assists when he's such an out-and-out number nine? But those two seem to really be linking up well. And Mkhitaryan as well, he's complimenting them because he's sitting that little bit more deeper. He's playing through the lines, that kind of diminutive Alexander Chleb type football. So for me, you know, the game was fantastic. I don't think, you know, as I say, listen, I don't think Burnley necessarily gave any kind of real level of competition, which is a bit surprising given how strong they've been defensively all season and how rigid they've been, how tactically apt they've been. you know, perhaps the occasion got to them slightly, or, you know, perhaps I'm being harsh, and actually Arsenal just really rose to the occasion. I thought we played with a lot more passion, but not just passion. We played with a lot more intelligence than what we have in, you know, one might argue, you know, where was this kind of performance at Brighton away or at Newcastle away, when Arsenal needed the players to turn up, because, you know, Josh Kroenke's been over here on his back and kind of watching what's been going on. So, listen, it gives me some hope when I look at players like Mavropanos and him. Let's not get too carried away, but he looks like a very young, composed centre-back of the like we've not seen in some time. You know, so I do think there's some positives to be taken away. But I think, you know, all of that doesn't matter, does it? You know, we've come six. Nothing really mattered. The big story was Arsene Wenger. Will he or won't he get a great send-off? And ultimately he did. And the fans sang, you know, one Arsene Wenger for a final time. And it was an emotional day. And for me, that was the real talking point was, you know, just how much respect Wenger still has, you know, love him or hate him or want him gone. You know, the overwhelming majority of people, whether they want him in or out, were they're going to be respectful. And damn it, they were. And it was a fantastic send-off. And it was very fitting that we played with some Wenger ball in his final game at home.
Very well said, Jace. Lacazette's performance, he's now this season played 38 games, 17 goals, 5 assists. Dare we say the Dirty Pirate was right?
Out of spite, no. No, look, you know, you don't, even though La Liga is a feeder league, okay, and, you know, he's not fit to shine Cavani's boots. Alexander Lacazette is a really good footballer, okay? He has had his struggles this season. To his credit, he's come through them. And, you know, I thought he was a really nice performance by him on Sunday. I think his link-up play, his time on the wing has helped his link-up play. His time on the wing at Lyon, has helped his link-up play become very, very intelligent. He's a great little player. He's a great little centre-forward. My only kind of concern about him is he hasn't got blistering pace. His pace is all it's all in the first 5 yards. It's all in his head. Okay, that's his strength. You know, he's not going to outrun a decently paced defender. But as long as he keeps on knocking the goals in like he is, and linking the play as well as he is, he'll do well for us. He'll do well for us. The sad thing was on Sunday, there were a couple of times where he's put himself in really, really good positions, okay? He's on the shoulder of the centre-half, and whoever's in possession has not passed him the ball. And there were a couple of criminal efforts by our midfield that it happens. It's not, you know, no blame game. But you could see, if we're a bit sharper and play a first-time through ball, he's going to be first onto it. And I think, you know, when you look at Aubameyang as well, there's another player who will do that. So I think if we mixed our game up a little bit, and, you know, this wasn't sort of threading the eye of a needle passing he did. It was just a quick stab and, you know, get it to him early doors. I think he could have had two more, no problem, you know. But yeah, he's a lovely little player. I really like him.
The only thing I'd come in and say there, Jace, to you, if you look at Lacazette in the second half of the season versus the first half, and you're just trying to reinforce that point I made earlier, in the first half of the season, sometimes he looked very lost. And I wouldn't say that was necessarily his fault. What I would say is there were times when he was so far up the pitch and there was no one around him. And I've kind of made the point on here a few times, and I've disagreed with a couple of people, but I think that Arsenal, we for too long have been selling off our wide players. You know, we've brought in Joel Campbell and Lucas Perez, and we've sold them both off. We haven't replaced the Ox. We haven't replaced Theo. There's been a lot of, you know, wide players leave over the years, Nasri, Arshaw, and you know, if you look now, fundamentally, the only wide player we have in the team is Mkhitaryan, really. You know, obviously with Sanchez leaving. But I think now with Mkhitaryan and Aubameyang playing far higher up the pit field than what any player was in the first half of the season, Lacazette's got players much closer to him, and it's really bringing the best out of his game now. I think, you know, if you look the way he's playing, he's much more creative. He's finding players. He looks a lot more comfortable. He can take another second on the ball and look up. Because before, we were just lumping the ball up to him and then hoping, you know, he would hold it up until, you know, some other players ran up. But that was Giroud's game. That wasn't his game. But now I think actually with Aubameyang next to him, and, you know, this has surprised me because I didn't think that, you know, Aubameyang would do well in those positions. But actually having a couple of players close to him, he's looking a much, you know, he's looking a much well-rounded player. And also he's not got, you know, people are actually passing it to him first time, as opposed to before when he would start making his run and then the ball would get played to him about 20 seconds later. So let's see. Hopefully we'll see him, you know, come on leaps and bounds next season. But I think it's been a much better finish to the season than it was a start for him.
I've got to admit, I agree with you, okay? But the one thing about Lacazette was, I know, okay, he had injury problems, but there were a number of chances before he got injured where, you know, he needs to bury them. A player of his quality should be burying those chances. But again, as you say, with Aubameyang and Mkhitaryan coming in, I had my doubts over the pair of them. You know, I know that you always know there's ability there. But the functionality of the way they play at times, the little simple passes they give off, the way they move off the ball to go into space, you know, Sanchez was a wonderful player for us, but it was all about him. These two guys are proper team players. And I think you're right, you know, Lacazette is beginning to flourish in that. And I just can't wait to see all these guys, you know, move around and exchange positions, because they were doing that on Sunday, you know, swapping winger now and again. And a joy to behold. It's exciting times. If the right manager comes in and harnesses these guys, the attacking prowess we could have next season could be really, really exciting.
That's good. Jeff, Aubameyang, 2 goals, an assist, an opta rating of 9.5, man of the match, absolutely stunning performance. Now, his time when he was at Borussia Dortmund, he was usually the main striker, 141 goals in 213 games. Did you think that when we signed him, he would go, he's 28 years old, I'm playing as the striker, people will play around me? And did you think he'd do that? And are you surprised that he's gone, no, it's okay, I'll play out wide, I'll drift in up front, I'll drop deep, I'll do all the work? What a player! What a game! What a performance!
Yeah. He looks a good prospect for Arsenal, doesn't he? You know, it was a lot of money when he came in, or we thought, but you know, given today's market prices of top quality centre forwards, then you know, it's not really that much. It's not expensive. I mean, I've been surprised how quickly he has adapted. You know, and the best thing about it is, strikers just need to score goals. And again, with Lacazette, the way he's knocked him in when he's come back into the fold again, it's been brilliant. And I've not got a problem. I don't think I've ever had a problem really with Arsenal going forward. It's over the last 7 or 8 years, we've just been so poor defensively, and that's what's cost us. And if we could, whoever the manager comes in, if he could just... if he can just adjust the balance right, where we can defend properly as a proper team and as a proper unit, then you know, I think it will change from what's happened this season. Because you know, offensively we're a top side. You know, we can break. You know, and that's another thing. I am a little bit concerned. I know it's not been that pretty this year to previous seasons, but the way we actually, our philosophy for playing football, you know, is to attack and try and outscore other teams. I don't want a kind of Mourinho team. I don't want a Simeone kind of team. All right, you know, you do enjoy it and, you know, they're winners. I understand that. But I do want to go and see football. And even over the bad times, some games this season, I have really been entertained by Arsenal, but by the way they play football. Some of the short passing, very, very quick passing has been brilliant. Let's just hope we can remain and keep the same brand of football, so to speak. But if we can lock it down at the back, then it'll be fantastic. I mean, one thing, again, that I do fault Wenger for is, you know, he won't compromise on the philosophy. And if you don't compromise on the philosophy in this modern game, you know, you have got to work on your coaching. You have got to buy proper defenders and get them into the team and fit them. And you've got to defend properly. Otherwise, you're not going to, you know, you'll see what's happened to us this season. And that is exactly what will happen to us.
Right, Jace, Jeff was talking there about the defenders and how they've been this season. How did you feel about Mavropanos? How do you think he's settling in with that team? And Bellerin's performance on the day with an opta rating of 8.1, 2 assists, and probably Bellerin's best performance of the season.
I think it's been a tough season for Hector. as much as he had a great Opta rating on Sunday, I think, you know, there are a couple of crosses that he should have done better with. You know, having said that, you know, he has delivered on Sunday. You know, he's done well. I think the guy needs a rest this summer. I think he needs a rest. He needs to get... There's obviously been something happening there because he seems to have lost his pace. He doesn't open up the way he used to and you know, and back himself. We need to get him right. And if we can get Hector right, we've got a real potent attacking threat there. So hopefully you'll have a nice summer off, get rested and come back fresher. With Mavropanos, we said it on the radio show before the Atletico game, where him and Chambers, what was the game we played before Atletico? Oh, what was it?
That's a good question. okay, before Atletico, we played Man United. We lost 2-1 at theirs.
He and Chambers in the United game looked like a proper pair. And I think, you know, myself and Andrew were talking about this on Sunday, where, you know, Chambers has improved this season. He now looks like the old head out of all of our centre-backs. He looks the most accomplished. Mavropanos, with his aggression, and they both show aggression, but his pace and his aggression, he slotted him beautifully there. It wouldn't have surprised me if going into the Atletico game, Arsene would have chosen Mavropanos and Chambers because they looked very good against United. You know, he didn't. He had to go with tried and trusted, and that's fair enough. But again, it's another accomplished performance from them. And the good thing about Mavropanos is, I think, his pace, his aggression, his ability to work with his wing-backs and his centre-half partner and the midfield. He's going to slot in, no matter if it's Chambers, them, Mustafi, or Holding next to him. I think this kid's going to do a job. And as long as we bring him through properly, we could have a little gem in our hands.
Okay, David, you're back with us. How's your connection?
You tell me.
Oh, you sound lovely. Ignore all the WhatsApps I sent you because apparently you're back in the call. Okay,
I haven't got Jason, the phone on in case the phone was anything to do with it, so I haven't seen WhatsApp.
Okay, don't worry then.
Sorry about that.
Jason was just covering about the defence there. So you can have Iwobi. He had an Opta rating of 9. He got a goal. He looked refreshed. And his movement over the pitch was really impressive. And your general thoughts on the game and maybe do a little bit on Iwobi and why he seems to have pulled it out with three games to go.
I think there was probably a general air amongst the team that started on Sunday that they were going to add to the carnival atmosphere. And that may be a suggestion that their head hasn't been right for a few weeks, certainly away from home. But yes, Iwobi was typical of the improvement and the return to Wenger ball, if you like, because his first thought upon getting the ball every time was to move it forward. There was, don't get me wrong, the comparison is rather overdone, but there were elements of Rosicki in his game on Sunday, because that's what Tom used to get us going forward, looking to play positive balls in behind defenders. And of course we feasted on it, and particularly Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang down the left-hand side. He had his fullback in his pocket all day. And when he cut inside, he looked an absolute threat. So for me, the attitude was the best thing for all of the side on Sunday. But Iwobi, I thought, displayed it the best.
Yeah, it's really nice for the lad to do well. While I've got you, do you think Wenger might feel a little bit disappointed that they've turned it on for this game, but so many times this season they've let him down? And it's not Wenger's fault. The players have let him down, haven't they?
There's two sides to every story, I suppose, because you do hear frequently the grumbles about the defence isn't coached, that all they do in training is that they play one-touch and two-touch stuff. And actually, on top of that, there are the stretching exercises and things that they do beforehand. I can't believe that there's not a point of the season at which they do some proper coaching with that defence, but it doesn't look like it, does it? And I don't think Steve Bould is allowed too close to them on a regular basis. But what do I know? I've been there half a dozen times for training, so I'm hardly a reliable guide.
You know what? You know what I've got to say on that, though, Dave. And I do agree what you're saying. I've touched on it earlier on as well. But you know, when you get to play for a football team like Arsenal, okay, you should really know how to defend. You should already know. You know, all they need to just coach you at is the setup, your shape, and what area of the pitch, and the just shape where you are. You know, because I mean the Atletico goal. When Hector got caught out of position, you know, he was in front of Diego Costa or it might have been Greer or one of the two of them anyway. Mm. You know, he's so high up the pitch. As soon as and he's on the other side, if the ball's on the other side, right, as a fullback or a wingback or whatever, you've got to tuck in. That's the rules. That's the, you know, it's just, you learn that at a very, very young age. So what he's doing up the other end of the pitch, or, you know, just edging up to the halfway line when we've given away possession on the other side of the pitch, it's absolutely crazy. You should not have to, it should just come naturally. And those things should be coached. It's about concentration. They don't concentrate properly. And the difference is when you buy top quality, elite players, they've got elite mentality, elite technique, and they've got elite concentration. There's a fine line, and unfortunately, people like Hector Bellerin and Callum Chambers have had to learn on the job, and that's where we've gone wrong.
But can I just jump in there? I do apologise, guys, but on that goal against Atletico, where Hector was stood, he's got Costa one side of him. And I'm not sure if it's Koke, the midfielder, was coming inside as well. He's got two men to mark him, and there's no midfielder giving him coverage, okay? So he's watching two men at the time. You know, he's caught in no man's land there. So watch that back to the radio show. And, you know, okay, you know, who does he cover? You know, there's no help coming from midfield. And as much as I do agree with you, you know, Hector's come through the academy from La Masia. Okay, so he's ingrained in the Arsenal way of doing things, and it's the same mistakes happening time and time and time again to different players. And I, God knows I love Arsene Wenger. God knows it was horrible to see him go on Sunday. But, you know, how often can we just blame the players on this? You know, because you're talking, we've got World Cup winners in our squad. You know, we've got top-class talent throughout the squad. And yet we still make the same mistakes time and time again.
Mm. The problem is, you know, these guys, they're not real proper defenders anymore. They're good on the ball. I think they buy defenders now for how much they can pass the ball. And, you know, it's very, we don't really see a proper defender anymore.
They use their stats DNA stuff too much.
Well, yeah, maybe they do. You know, sometimes, you know, the stats do tell you a lot. Don't get me wrong, but I watch the game. And if you watch the game, you can see, you know, really whether they're doing okay or not. And what you're saying there, Jace, is I understand what you're saying. He's caught between two, but you've got to get goal side, and you've got to get round so you're near the closest centre half, so they can't play a ball in between you. If they play it outside of you, all right, you can still defend your goal. If you're outside and it's played in the down through the lines, you're in trouble. And other players as well. It's just about the concentration, and you've got to smell the danger. And unfortunately, Arsenal haven't got them players at the moment.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Jeff. And I think in Hector's, it's not his defence. He does have to relearn his role again, because there's no doubt since that injury last year that he had that kept him out for a while, he hasn't come back. He's not come back as the pacey player he was before the injury. And he needs to relearn where he needs to be on the park. But I think we're concentrating on him far too much, because we've got central defenders who are regularly unhinged by a simple long ball down the middle. How many goals have we conceded to that this year? And yet I will bet you a pound to a penny, when he goes to the World Cup, Shkodran Mustafi will be one of the better defenders in that tournament.
I think a big thing with defence as well, you know, I think Jeff's right, you know, good defenders should be good before they come to Arsenal. It's just a case of setting them up right. But you do find with a good defence, a lot of the time it's not necessarily down to just the individual talent, but it's about more more than just analysts, about how specific defenders work. So that's kind of where, you know, we saw Mertesacker and Koscielny made a fantastic partnership, when actually before that, you know, Koscielny was actually, I think, in the 2013 season, he wasn't the first choice. It was Vermaelen and Mertesacker. And then after that, it was Vermaelen and Koscielny. And it took us a few attempts before we settled on that kind of centre-back partnership between Koscielny and Mertesacker, which was one of the best we've had in a long time. And you look at some of the defences over the years in the Premier League, players like Honcho and Hoopier on paper, you know, I mean, Hoopier was a great defender, don't get me wrong, but on paper, you wouldn't look at that and think, whoa. But actually, they were a fantastic defence. And I don't think we've necessarily had that link up. You know, Gabriel and Koscielny never quite linked up. And there's been a few players. So, I mean, it's very encouraging to see we're getting the best out of Chambers alongside Mavropanos, because I think Chambers is actually one of the players who is quite guilty of making at least one major mistake every game that he's played in most games for Arsenal, if not more. But he looks a lot calmer than usual. And also one thing on Bellerin, I think it's not easy for him that he's shape-shifting between a midfielder in a 3-4-3 back to a right back in a 4-2-3-1 in quite the same way that Chamberlain could last year. I think it was Lee Dixon a couple of months ago who quite said, he said that Bellerin now finds himself playing far too high up the pitch, and actually puts a lot of pressure on the rest of the defence. And you do see it sometimes. Chambers, sometimes when he has the ball, his distribution just looks headless. He'll play it back to Cech all too often. There was a game a couple of months, I think it was Southampton, when the fans were booing him because he just kept playing sideways passes. But the reality is, Bellerin's gone so far up the field, it's actually leaving that pass just can't be played because it's too easily, it will be blocked out. So I think there is going to have to be a lot of work in defence. I don't think it's just a case of putting four good defenders together and saying, go away, boys. It is clear that over the years, you know, we don't have that same defensive mindset. And also, we don't have the same cover. The Xhaka, fundamentally, how many times this season has a goal come where it's come from an attacking centre midfielder who Xhaka's tracked right up into the edge of the box and then just left him run for the last 5 metres? Stuff like that. It's just, you know, you defend, in my opinion, I've always said you defend from the top. You know, it should be the first player at the top doing the pressing. And I think Xhaka lets us down in that sense as well. So hopefully a new coach will come in. I know Wenger's given us some fantastic football, and he's left us with some fantastic players in Aubameyang and Lacazette and Mkhitaryan. But I do think it's time for a new manager to come in, and hopefully we'll have, you know, that kind of revolutionary effect that Wenger gave us in the first place, that breath of fresh air. Someone who can take this bunch of players, add a couple more, and add, you know, we haven't had a backbone in however long now, and that's exactly what we need. Someone who, you know, like an Allegri, who can put a bit of defensive stability in there while still playing that kind of that Corinthian football. But I do think, you know, it's time that a lot of these defenders now, they really need that change in mindset in the club, because for too long we just haven't focused enough on that part of the game, and it's ultimately cost us to the point of where we are now.
To add to that point as well, I think it's a great point, Fife, but, you know, how many times have the centre-backs tried to play out to midfield and the fucking midfielder is not even looking for the ball? Mm. They're away in la-la land. And if you're a central midfielder, you have to be aware of, you know, you're an out ball for the centre-halves. And that's been, you know, especially the last couple of months, that's been really highlighted with us.
Okay, well, that's 25 minutes on the game. I think that's got it covered. I thought, would it be nice, while I got all four of you on tonight and you were all at the game, for maybe for the fans that couldn't make it to the game or the fans that are abroad, give me a little bit about, I'll start with you, Jason, about how your day went and your journey there and your feelings about the atmosphere at the game and who you met up with. And if you can get that done in 5 to 6 minutes each. But they're going to say that me and Jay spoke for the best part of an hour last night, and all I did was grill him on this point, and that's where I got the idea for it. So, Jace, go.
Yeah, so as soon as the game, yeah, as soon as Arsene announced he was retiring, you know, had to get a ticket for this game. So myself and Josh arranged to meet up and meet some of the guys. Left Cardiff at 10 o'clock, coach up, met, funny enough, the first person I met was Dave in the Tollington. Met Mr. Horlick, who was with Blogging Royalty, although he is Blogging Royalty. Josh turned up, had a couple of beers with the guys, just relaxed, enjoyed, went to the, met up with a couple of the people before the game, met FK, went in, and, you know, a 5-0 win, glorious sunshine. The stadium's magnificent, you know. It was a celebratory atmosphere. It, you know, they gave Arsene the send-off he deserved. To hear his name being chanted out throughout the game and ringing out throughout the stands. And to be fair, as Andrew said, the Burnley fans acknowledging him as well, you know, it was absolutely phenomenal. After the game, met Fifey for a beer. The only disappointment is I didn't get to hook up with the Diamond Club wanker because somebody had to go and do it in style, didn't he? And I missed Raj as well. So that was the only thing. But yeah, caught the 9 o'clock home. I got no problem in saying, you know, when he came out to receive the present from the club, and after Bob Wilson's words, I was in tears, you know. We said goodbye to a man who's given me fantastic memories, 22 years of service to the club, the club's greatest ever manager. Bannon, the club's greatest ever manager. And the fans and the club did him proud.
Well, why couldn't you have said that last night and then I could have gotten with cooking my dinner? Wouldn't have had it, ended up eating at midnight. That's really nice. There's yeah, it's nice. I mean, I've the only person I've ever met, which is weird, is the person who lives the furthest away, and that's Canadian Jeff. I mean, Ellis could be here in 20 minutes if he wanted. I just think he hates me. Mr. Fife, you tell us about your journey and who you went with and your thoughts and feelings on the day.
Well, I don't know how much people care particularly, but I live 5 minutes from the ground, so... I met my father. We had both had a baguette and sat in Canterbury Square, which was nice. Baguette from Poole, although there are other providers of baguettes in the Islington M1 area. Although you do like baguettes, they have a meal deal for £5.25 where you can get a baguette and a bottle of water, which was quite nice. It was good. Met quite a few friends. I actually met with some old faces. It was good. I met up with so my father and I had a couple of pints. We drink away from the ground up in just north of Highbury Islington Station. Met with, yeah, as I say, some old friends. Mark King joined, which was nice. His son with his son's lovely girlfriend, who I met for the first time. A friend of mine, Richard, and another friend, Stephen, who comes over from Dublin from time to time, who I sit with or I sit next to as he has one of my season tickets. It was fantastic. We all had a stroll down, chatting about the good old days, chatting about our favourite Wenger moments. Some of us had more than others to share, but it was a great day. I'm really glad at just how well the send-off went. My only gripe with the day is I didn't manage to buy a programme. And some fuckers now selling 20 on the internet, about 100 a pop. But listen, it was great. There was a couple of guys who were sat behind me who for some time I feel have lost all touch with grace. And I don't think it's unfair to say that at least 70 to 75% of Arsenal fans, at least last season, I think it's probably increased this season that when we hit our worst moments, wanted Wenger to leave. But the overwhelming majority of people are respectful in that opinion. And unfortunately, the guys behind me weren't. They never have been. So, you know, during the game, they were shouting at Wenger to F off. And I sit not too far from behind Wenger. I'm 9 rows behind the bench, you know, and they were getting, you know, typical old boys getting annoyed at people singing songs about all the legends because they had the temerity to sing about players who no longer play for us, whilst those same guys were shouting F off at all the players. So thankfully, they themselves F'd off at halftime, which I was quite happy about because it just meant that everyone else could get on and enjoy the game. Listen, the atmosphere was brilliant. I thought the Burnley fans were extremely respectful, which, you know, we haven't necessarily seen up and down the country in recent days. They added a great atmosphere, to be fair to them, and as did Sean Dyche. Listen, afterwards was just a fantastic spectacle. It was fantastic. You know, it was fantastic that Wenger got the send-off he deserved. Listen, we can sit here and debate till the cows come home. If it was, you know, this is the right time. Should he have stayed longer? Should he have gone years ago? You know, at the end of the day, it didn't matter. The day was going to be a chance to say, you know, mercy, Arsene, for everything you've given us. And I'm glad he got that. He's going to go away and, you know, listen, he says he's going to get a season ticket in the North Bank. And, you know, after he served his 10 years on the waiting list, I truly hope he does. but it was a great day. And then had my pint with Jason. We were stood on the curb, as they would say in the States, and some window. I remember a window in a car went down, and I think a 3-year-old started shouting Arsenal at him. So we politely obliged and sang Black, which was fun. And you know, his mum was getting us going too far. And then I had a curry with Mark King and his family. A very nice curry house again on Upper Street, just off Upper Street and Church Street, actually. Zafarani's, for anyone who likes a good curry in North London, it's one of the better ones. I'd recommend it. So yeah, listen, it was a fantastic day, and it was good to see more of the gang. And listen, I hope we get to do another big ABW game like we did a couple of years ago next season, because it would be nice to see you boys again.
That would be. What colour trousers did Mark have on? Were they the pink corduroys or something special?
No, he had on shorts, I think cargo shorts and a light blue look. He was actually looking very stylish for himself. Yeah, very good stuff.
Okay, that's good to hear. David, how was your day? And if you want, you can go into detail about the terrible service the trains give you.
No. I bore everyone to tears with that. But suffice it to say that one way or another, after leaving at Sparrow Fart, I managed to get there in time to join the queue pretty early to sign the Book of Respect, or whatever it was they were calling, that they're going to give to Arsene before he leaves at the end of the month. Which made it a different start to the day.
Can I ask, was there anybody checking that nobody wrote anything shitty in there?
Yes, very much. Good. You had someone over your shoulder.
Yeah.
I think most of the time it was being filmed by someone or another. And so, yeah, you had to be, even if you were of that mind, I don't think you would have got very far into your message.
Okay, I'll shut up now.
No problem. So then, lovely walk in the old spring sunshine down to the Tolly. I wasn't quite the first in, but there weren't too many people around. I managed to get a table in the garden where I was joined by one or two fairly well-known people, which was it made for a pleasant lunchtime, because then Jace came bowling in. And if you thought he was outlandish, then another old mate I haven't seen in a long time, Dizzy Gillespie, I'll mention him again later in the show, he came rolling up and just, he seemed to be following me around most of the day, which turned out to be a good thing. Fife, you mentioned the programmes. This guy, Dizzy, saw me as I'm walking to the ground like 3/4 an hour before the kickoff, started screaming at me from across the road, which is fairly typical of him. And he saw me join the queue for the programmes. He said, "Have you got one, Ollick?" I said, "No." He said, "Here, have one. That's why I bought three." Oh, bloody hell, fair play. And I was mighty grateful to him later as well, because that was a big old queue. And actually, Fife, if you want to get some, there's some still left in the club shop, according to someone who's gone to the under-23 game tonight. Now, that being done, the game itself was just, well, the day, from the way they started, the two teams formed a guard of honour for him. The emotion that came out at that point was just the starter for 10. I thought the way it was good to hear everybody singing his name. What really surprised me, though, was come the end of the match, when I honestly thought beforehand we would probably lose 10 to 20,000 people. And it didn't really happen. Just nearly everybody stayed on. Obviously, quite a lot of the Burnley left, but it was surprising to see quite a few, maybe couple of 300 Burnley fans stayed on to take it all in, which was, you know, typical of what they were like on the day, as the boys say. The presentations, well, it was Per Mertesacker probably started it off. I thought Vic Akers was looking a bit weepy when he came off with his, I'll tell you, a silver cannon or a gold cannon. But yeah, there was him, there was Alex Scott, but then Per Mertesacker. And of course, he'd already got like a little 15-minute cameo at the end of the game. And so the crowd hadn't stopped singing a big friendly German, I think he was called, on Arsenal TV last night. It just swept around the stadium, and it was how supporting used to be. It was all organic. There was nothing forced or put upon. People wanted to sing and join in the day. And then, of course, Arsene came on. Wonderful that he mentioned Sir Alex Ferguson first of all. But if you hadn't cracked by the time he got to the end, and he said, "I'll miss you." Well, You're not human. And with that, I shall crack up again. See you in a minute.
Right, Jeff, how did your day go? Was it as a... Because I think most of us here do definitely remember the George Graham days. And when I know when George Graham left, it was just like, George Graham's gone. And that was it. It was the night of a game, and I was driving up the side of where the new stadium is now. And I always felt that George Graham never got the farewell that he deserved. And Wenger definitely did get the farewell that he deserved, didn't he?
Yeah, he did indeed. And you're right about George Graham. Obviously, that was under different circumstances, and it was different times at that time. I mean, I had a fantastic weekend, to be honest with you, Dan. I was lucky enough to bag a couple of Diamond Club tickets. Now, the Diamond Club, for the listeners, it is definitely the best hospitality at the club. It's like a season ticket, and you've got to pay to get into the even on the list to start with, and then you've got to pay like 4 years up front, and it's a hell of a lot of money. So my lucky enough, I've got a good friend of mine that's in the insurance business, and he owns a couple. And I about 2 months ago, I said, if you've got a couple of two of your tickets that you're not using in the Diamond Club, just let me know. He said, okay, no problem, Jeff. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. You could have them for the Burnley game. Well, of course, this was before we knew about Arsene Wenger leaving, and that's his last home game, etc. So I felt terribly guilty a couple of weeks ago, and I obviously called him and said, listen, mate, you know, I'd understand if you want them back, you're welcome to them. You know, I've got club levels of my own, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, he was kind enough. He said, no, he said, you can have the tickets. So I went along there around about 1:30, had a couple of clients to meet early doors. So we had a cup of coffee somewhere just on Holloway Road. There was a lot of people there very, very early. You know, I was there about 1:30, and there was loads and loads of supporters milling about. Obviously, it was a lovely day and a Sunday, so that made it easier for people maybe. But it was superb, and you know, it was like a carnival kind of atmosphere. Even the walk to the stadium, you know, with the big banner across the top of the armory. Mercy Arsene, and you know, it was really, really nice. It was a different kind of atmosphere to what we've been used to over the last 2 or 3 years. You know, when some people obviously they're moaning about, you know, Kroenke and the board and the transfers and Wenger and certain players, that was all seemed to be set aside for this one day, and it really was brilliant, and you could feel that. You know, just walk into the ground, and I was, you know, we went up to the Diamond Club, and it's a fantastic hospitality suite. You know, it's right up in the stadium. You just generally walk out, you know, maybe 20 meters, and you're in your seat. We had a 4-course lunch. Unfortunately, it was spoiled on me because I don't drink, so there was no alcohol being consumed by me. It was, like I said, it was most probably spoiled. But you know, and then we got out. It's about 5 minutes before kickoff, and you could the ground was, you know, it was most probably 95% full at that stage, whereas usually it's only like 70% full. People come late, don't they? And all the red T-shirts was on the seats, and it was just a fantastic experience. It reminded me when we left Highbury and that Wigan game when it was Bergkamp's final home match. It brought back plenty of memories from that, and right throughout the game, especially when Wenger came out, I didn't shed a tear, but I was on the way. I had to hold myself back because, as you know, I'm a lover of Arsene Wenger, and I love what he's done for the club. And I'm old school. I've seen, I don't know, four maybe managers, maybe even five managers over my time, and without a shadow of a doubt, he's definitely my most favourite football manager. One, because of the way he carries himself, what a gentleman he is. I don't think we'll see the likes of him in the Premier League ever again. I could be wrong, but I don't think so. Not the whole package that he gave us, the way he come in, and you know, his game. I've talked about the philosophy that he's brought to Arsenal Football Club. I just think he was a
perfect fit for Arsenal. And I hope I'm wrong, but I honestly don't think we'll see another one like him, especially, you know, with the success that he's given us, you know. And the game itself was a fantastic game. It was thoroughly enjoyable. It was a brilliant win. As Fife said and the boys have said, the atmosphere was fantastic inside, and I was so delighted when even the Burnley fans halfway through the game started singing just randomly. There's only one Arsene Wenger, and it went all the way around, and all the Arsenal fans was clapping them for that. So the level of respect, I think once everyone settles down, all the Arsenal fans settle down, maybe in a year's time or a couple of years' time, I hope and I do believe that they will really, really appreciate what the man has done for Arsenal Football Club and the fantastic memories that he's given us. And I hope that we can reproduce those memories with managers when we go forward. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was a fantastic send-off for him, and I really, really wish him well.
Can I just come in and add something there? You know, as the boy said, as Fifey said, there are a couple of idiots up behind him who throw abuse at Arsene, etc. You know, people want him out, fine. You know, people wanted him out. I had no problem with that. But it says more, you know, when you look at everybody who's paid tribute to Arsene and listen to what they've said, he always treats people with respect, okay? You know, his first words in his speech were about Alex Ferguson, as Dave said. If people haven't got the good grace and the good manners to treat him with a bit of respect on a day like that, then it says everything about them as human beings and not Arsene Wenger and the job he's done. You know, the crowd that celebrated his achievements and his career there, that said everything about the man, not some idiots who don't understand how to behave or don't have the good grace God gave them. You know, I feel pity for those people, and they're not worth worrying about. Arsene Wenger had the send-off he deserved, as the boys rightfully said.
I just love the way he signed off. His final two words were, bye-bye.
Yeah, and you know, the bit when he goes, I am an Arsenal fan. You know, it gets you, doesn't it? Yeah. You know, you forget this is his life. You know, for as much as we love that club, don't tell me he doesn't love the club.
Well, I love the way after as well, when he was talking to the journalist and he said he can't wait now so that he can sit in the crowd and hurl abuse at the new manager with everyone else. That was quite funny.
Well, if he's at a loose end, he can come on here if he wants.
Yeah, come on, Arsene, join the boys.
Well, my old man can't make it up to European nights, there's always a spare ticket next to me on a Thursday.
I bet those guys behind him wouldn't say a fucking word to him. And then the little kid with the sign, can I have your tie, please, Arsene? You know?
Oh, there was I told you about the other kid. So there was a fantastic moment when Arsenal were doing the lap of honour at the end, as they do after every season. It wasn't just a Wenger thing. But down in block five, some kid who must have been no older than 10 ran onto the pitch, managed to get past one steward before being taken out by a second. And I was quite hoping that Wenger was going to tell him to let him on, but I guess he couldn't, because then every bug would run on the pitch. But yeah, it was a fantastic pace from the little kid. It reminded me of a 16-year-old Theo Walcott, actually. But it was a great day.
Sounds. I hope people at home and listening on the bus and the tractor with these four wonderful gents have painted a picture with words to try and make you give some kind of idea from what maybe you didn't see on the TV and their journey there and meeting up with people. Jeff, you thought maybe it's a good idea if we talk about where we go now with the team, with the club, with the manager, with the players. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know what? Whoever it is, I'm not 100% confident that the people that we have in charge of the club are capable of making a proper decision. Arsene Wenger has got absolutely no input in the choosing of the next manager, I understand maybe the thinking of it, but a man of that experience, and I think he should have at least, you know, give us a little clue on where should we be heading.
So I'm not sure. I'm a little bit concerned, but you know, Arsenal's a fantastic club, a fantastic job, and someone is definitely going to take it on. There's no doubt about that. I do think that first man is it's a poison chalice. I think it's going to be very, very difficult to come in there after such a successful manager that's been there such a long time. I just think the club is, and I think at the top level there, I think we're in a bit of a turmoil because they're not sure who they want. I was told that the Barcelona, what was it, the Barcelona manager, what was his name again?
Luis Enrique.
Luis Enrique, I think he was demanding £15 million per season, and then he wants a £200 million budget for spending on players. See, this is the problem that we have got. You know, I don't think that Arsenal have got the money, obviously, like Man City and the likes of. I think that we're going to have to run with what we've got. We can add a few, but I don't think there's a hell of a lot of money there. And I think that any manager coming in, knowing that what a job Arsenal's done over the years, they're going to realise they're on a bit of a hiding, and they're going to want a lot of money to spend to try and boost of the squad. So I just hope they get it right. I put it that way, Dan.
Yeah, can I just butt in there, Jeff? Because I think that's a very good point that you've made about the confidence level that you have in whoever is deciding the next manager. Will they make the right one? Will they make a complete and utter rickets of it? And I think it goes deeper than that, because you've seen Ivan Gazidis has won his power battle with Arsene. He's created a structure behind him that Arsene's not comfortable with, and has exacerbated his leaving possibly a year earlier than he was going to, unless you believe the story that he's actually going a year later than he wanted to. But I think I would much prefer that San Leahy and Sven Mislintat are going to get the lion's say in who the next manager will be, rather than rely on Ivan. And if he's going into another power battle with these two guys, he loses this one.
I'll just come in as well, so give my 10th on that. So with Jeff's point, I understand where Jeff's coming from in terms of, yeah, I don't fully don't have 100% confidence in the backroom staff and those the powers that be. Especially people like Chips Keswick, for example, Lord Harris of Peckham. I mean, I just don't see what they're going to be offering us. One thing I would say, which I find quite interesting, is a few years ago at one of these events, does, and fair play to him for doing these at the end of the season, because there's, you know, they have to do the AGM, let's get that straight, but he meets up with about 300 fans at the end of every season, and despite how difficult the season might be, he sits there and he takes questions and he fills them very well. At one point he made about when Arsene Wenger leaves, he said, listen, the plan of the club over the next few years is to ensure that we put the infrastructure in place so that when Arsene Wenger does leave, it won't have the same net minus effect that Man United did when Ferguson left. And because when Fergie left, it led to such a huge hole that, you know, they went from top to the top team or top place down to, you know, eventually coming in sixth for a couple of years. And I know you could argue that we've done that without having the change of manager, but the point is, in the last couple of years, and as Hollick rightly said, you know, we've got those people in the place now. We've got San Yei in, we've got Mislintat in, even we've got Mertesacker as the academy manager. So because things didn't work out with Jonker, I think now with Wenger going, there's a lot of people who actually share his philosophy in football. You know, Sanye's coming from Barcelona, where we know they play Wenger ball. Mislintat's looking at the kind of players who Wenger likes. So I don't think, you know, I'm not as worried as I would have been before. And my only concern about letting Wenger choose the next manager is you don't want it to have the same effect where it was Ferguson that picked Moyes. And every time Moyes had a loss at home, the cameras would pan to Ferguson. You know, they'd find Ferguson looking angry in the stadium. And I think we kind of almost now need to have a bit of a clean break. You know, let's trust the judgment of these guys. Obviously, you know, it is difficult because we haven't seen them make a call ever. It was, you know, David Dean that managed to secure Wenger. But I think we do at some point need to have, you know, that kind of clean break. Listen, Wenger's given names before of who he'd like to replace him. I think there was a guy over in the Serbian guy over in China, was it Drake Stekanovic? You know, and he never really made it. You know, Remy Gard was his next man. I know people do rate, but I think, you know, let's not just fully trust what Wenger's view on this. I think we're going to have to trust the men in charge, unfortunately. But, you know, there's some top names being bandied about. And if we can secure one of those, we could be in a very good place.
I think as well, you know, you look at the position we're in now. That afternoon of Wenger's announcement, you had Gazidis put himself front and centre. I'm the leader of the ship now with that press conference, which I thought was, you know, okay, he needed to say something, but I thought he got the temperature wrong. But you've also got, you know, you got Mislintat, Sanjehi, and what's the other guy's name?
The guy who's the contract negotiator?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Fusmani, oh, right, I can't remember his name. I do apologize.
One we got from the Sky Cycling team.
Yeah, yeah. But you're looking at these three guys now who've all come in at roughly the same time. There's going to be a bit of jockeying for position. I know Josh Kroenke is probably going to come over and he's probably going to take the reins. But, you know, who's to say that this is going to be a happy ship? It's going to take some real leadership from Gazidis and Josh Kroenke to keep these guys in line. You know, when Tuchel took over at Dortmund, he and Mislintat did not get on. There were issues there. I don't think this is going to be a smooth ride at the moment. I think there are going to be issues along the line, but it's incumbent upon Kroenke and Gazidis. You know, you've wanted this to happen. You've wanted Arsene to go, fine. You know, I'm not saying you're right. I'm not saying you're wrong. I think it's the right time for him to go now. I genuinely do. Probably a season or two too late. But, you know, you've got to give him the Chelsea FA Cup. That was magnificent. But now you've got what you want. You better deliver. You get the right man in. They're not going to give it to a Remy Gard. They've got to go out and get somebody who's really going to take charge of the club, breathe in that fresh air, and get the technical side of our game right. But, you know, this is what they wanted. Right. Deliver. Don't mess it up. You wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. Deliver.
Well, what a better way to end that segment. I quickly want to mention that the ladies were in the Women's FA Cup final. We've already won the League Cup final. We beat Man City 1-0. We played Chelsea. Unfortunately, we lost 3-1. It was a pretty decent game. They scored a couple of goals. We scored one to get back in it, and then they scored one to make it 3-1. That Chelsea were just so dominant on the day. And we played well, but Chelsea have got so much money that they spend on that. It's always going to be hard to beat them. And some more bad news about the under-23s. They were tonight playing in the Premier League International Cup, which is an international trophy for under-23 teams. Last season, Porto beat Sunderland 6-0 in the final, and tonight we lost 1-0 to Porto again. And I'm sure that's only over one leg. And George Bird, who is at JEORGEBIRD, is probably one of the most important people to follow on Twitter when it comes to youth information. That's where I get all of mine from. So any credibility I have has to go to him for it, because that's where I steal it all from. So yeah, that's a bit sad. But we've had a decent season with the under-23s. They've won the league, and the under-18s have runners up in the league, it looks like. And they're runners up in the cup. They lost to Chelsea over two legs. Anyway, don't want to dwell on that. That's sad stuff. Now we're going to move on to questions, gentlemen. So you will all get one question each, and Jason, don't milk it. Don't go carpenter on us, because we want to be done by 9:30. So from Alonso Spencer in the USA, friend of the pod, he says, with Koscielny out of action and Cech no longer being the goalkeeper he once was and BFG retiring, who will be our captain next year, Jace?
Oh, God knows.
Go on, say it. You know what we're thinking.
Look, there is one obvious candidate, okay?
Jack Wilshere. Okay. He can't be captain when he's at Wolves, can he?
No, look, you know, but for me, I'm not too sure if you give it to him. If he wants it, if Rambo wants it, give it to him, you know? But only if he wants it. I do think a new manager, if you get a technically gifted manager, they'll make Mustafi a better player. And I like his communication skills. Xhaka, I'm not too sure about. The guys up top, Ozil, not a chance in hell. You know, Mkhitaryan too soon, Aubameyang too soon, all those guys. So it may well have to be somebody like Aaron Ramsey. But, you know, I tell you I like the look of it at the moment. And if he does go and win a first team spot, I really like Callum Chambers. I think he's got that leadership bit about him. The best centre-halves displays I've seen this season were him and Rob Holding against West Ham, where they went for Andy Carroll. They tied him up in no time. And him and Mavropanos on Saturday. But look, who knows who a new manager will bring in as well. A new manager could bring in a couple of players and say, like, this is my guy. I want him leading my team because he knows my playing style. He knows exactly what I want to do.
Okay, well, the rest of you, one word, unless it's Emic Aubameyang, then it's two words. So starting with Mr. Hollick, one word, who's your captain for next season out of the current squad?
Aaron Ramsey.
Oh, Jeff?
Oh, I think if Petr Cech's still there, I think he'll get it.
Mr. Fife?
Ramsey. But can I just say, I was the only one who used one word.
So you ruined it. Right then, while I have you there, Mr. Fife, this is from Sri the Gooner. He says, which of the current backroom staff would you guys want retained post-Wenger? I don't think he means the upstairs ones. I mean, just like the coaches and Bold and Payton. I know Steve wants to keep Jerry Payton.
Yeah, I think Jerry Payton's definitely got to go. Primorac, is he still around? He needs to go. I think there's a few of the people that people consider Wenger yes men who probably need to go. I don't know. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and lie and say, I know I don't particularly care too much around that. So it might be better to give this question to someone else. It seems like the guy who we brought in from Chad Forsyth has done a fantastic job since we brought him in. So listen, we need people like him to stay. Jens Lehmann, who you're going to want to keep to stay around. Boldy, listen, Boldy's got a bad reputation, or he's got a growing bad reputation. I'd quite like to see how he does under a different manager. Was it a case of he's just a yes man and he can't provide anything, or was he genuinely being held back by Wenger? But I think it would be unfair to dismiss him now. You know, he's an Arsenal man, and he knows the club. And I think that actually, if we get rid of too many people who are Arsenal men, we risk losing, letting the players coming through know what it means to be at the Arsenal, you know, the Arsenal. And Boldy gets that. So I'd keep him, and I'd keep Forsyth, and all the others can bribe me if they want to stay.
That was a hell of a word.
Yeah, lovely. Right, then, Jeff, next one for you. It's actually everybody can have one player answer on this. From Dean Potter. Arsene often talked about the players he could have signed. So which player would you have liked him to sign and why? And there's been quite a list of players that, from way back in the day, from Maradona to more recent ones like Schmeichel and Ronaldo. Which one would you have had? And everyone gets one player.
It's got to be Ronaldo, mate. For sure.
That's spotty nonce. What do you want him at the club for?
What a player, mate.
Nah, he's overrated. Feeder league nonsense. David, what player would you pick?
Sorry, I'm on Jeff's side.
Jesus. Splitters. Jace, one word.
Ronaldo.
Fuck off. Fife.
Tony Cruz. No, Ronaldo. Did you see that when Bayern Munich played Real Madrid the other night, Paddy Power tweeted that Arsene Wenger at one point in time tried to sign 16 of the outfield players on the pitch?
Oh dear. Right, I am going to go long-term plan with this one with a clever pick. And this is actually a player we were linked to. A certain Spanish defensive midfielder left Barcelona in 2001 and he signed for Brescia. Now that young man, old man as he was then, was linked with Arsenal quite heavily. There's only a certain Pep Guardiola. That's the kind of ex-player I would want as our next manager. So there you go. I've gone long-term. I'm going to get in the TARDIS and sort that shit out.
Danny, without wanting to return to sections gone by too much, one notable wob, for want of a better term, who I have been speaking to, did mention that, you know, when we're talking about wondering whether things would be right with a new manager, one of his gripes with Wenger, and just, you know, give the listeners the perspective of a WOB, because I don't think any of us here particularly are, was that actually Guardiola made it quite well known that he would like to have become the Arsenal manager around 2015, I believe. And you know, from his perspective, the fact that Wenger felt that he could do a better job than Guardiola and decided to stay was one of his biggest gripes. But you know, taking that to a different level, I would say, whilst we are a little concerned in, you know, in recent years, we have seen managers like Guardiola and Klopp still want the Arsenal job, regardless of whether we've had the most funds to spend or the biggest salaries to offer. So there is positives to be had, I think, and there is, and we should remain positive around the next manager.
Yeah, to be fair, though, Fife, in 2015, Arsene was 1 year into the three-year deal that he'd signed after beating Hull in 2014. So I think that might be Chinese whispers from your WOB, mate.
Oh, bit of controversy there.
I'm fairly sure I remember Guardiola being extremely heavily linked, though, Dave. Do you not remember that point?
Yeah, absolutely. There wasn't a vacancy. That was the problem. I'd have jumped at him, mate. Absolutely jumped at him. I'd have jumped at Klopp, in all honesty, but there wasn't a vacancy.
For me, though, the season when we didn't win the league and Leicester did, that's when we should have... That for me was the point where I felt we should have started looking, and I can't remember the timeline clear enough to know.
That was 2016, and
that was 2015-2016 season. So I don't know for sure. I can't recall that. You know, I don't know the timelines where that slots into that point. But I get your point. After obviously winning the FA Cup against Hull and then bringing in Sanchez, and that we were on a big high, right? So I can get that.
And also that was the summer of Petr Cech.
Oh, well, that was a terrible summer.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the biggest issue, isn't it?
That was the beginning of the end, really.
Yeah. That Leicester season, though, was also the season that we lost Santi Cazorla for half a season, wasn't it? That's what really messed us up, mate.
We lost Sanchez, Cazorla, and Coughlin all at the same time. You know, I remember having this argument to Chris on Twitter, okay? And, you know, as I said to Chris, beginning that season, if you're telling me Mikel Arteta and Thomas Rosicki are going to stay fit to cover for any injuries, you're having a laugh. I'm sorry, I'm selling poor Chris up the river here, but Chris's words were, they'll do a job against WBA. And what does Arteta do against WBA? Gives away a goal, we lose the game 3-1. He was horrendous. You know, even we knew that they could not do a job. And you knew we were going to pick up injuries, you know? So it's a manager's job to plan for that. And unfortunately, God love Arsene, but he screwed the pooch that season badly. He cost us the title.
As I say, for saying that, we have had, you know, big, good-name managers since then who've linked themselves to us. And so I don't think it's far-fetched to think that, you know, we won't find one now.
Okay, next question. God, I managed to get in there, listener. I didn't think I'd get a word in. This is from Davey Boyd. And he says, question for Jason, please. Has Jace recovered from his speech impediment and choking fit after Gav predicted a 2-0 win and Wilshere's first goal scorer in the last show's prediction league? I think that was against Atletico, wasn't it?
I had a moment. If you're predicting Jack Wilshere to score a goal, yes, of course I'm going to have a moment. God love Jack. He's not a goal scorer, is he? As you pointed out on Sunday's radio show, in my accent.
Okay, right. James Howson has sent us a double question. One on thoughts of Henri not showing up for the Wenger ceremony, but I think that's been pointed out on Twitter. He's paid by Sky to go where he's told to go, so I suppose there's no point in us picking holes in that. So his question will go to you, Jeff. If you guys could pick a British guy to be the Arsenal manager, who would you pick? We'll just have Jeff answering that one, because there's very slim pickings.
I'd take a punt on Eddie Howe if it was only British.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have him any other way, though, would you?
I don't know. I think he knows the English game. I think he knows the Premier League. And I think that first one is a poison chalice, like I said. So maybe give him a chance and let him, you know, maybe he'll mess it up. If not, then all well and good.
Right. I need someone here who knows who Christian Pulisic is. Anybody know?
Dortmund midfielder.
Oh, there you go. Do you know who he is, Fife?
Fifey knows.
Sorry, I was on mute. Yeah, I do, yeah. American. Oh,
Okay, well, you can have this then, Fife, because Jason just had a question.
No, I definitely am not. Well, fine, give me the question, but I wouldn't say I know who he is, but I wouldn't say I'm probably a good answer.
This is from your namesake, a gentleman called Andrew, Gooner, H-A-W-G, who's been joining in with some of our wonderful Twitch stuff, people. Yeah, we are on Twitch, and tonight I did a three-quarters of an hour show of me setting up the podcast, showing you how I do it, got the laptop going, showing you the screen of all the questions coming in. So, yeah, go and know, if you've got Twitch, contact the pod and go give us a follow. And, yeah, it's good. We play games as well. He says, should we push hard to get 20-year-old American Christian Pulisic, who's at Borussia Dortmund? He'd be an excellent winger and one for the future. Great attitude and ability. Mislintat connected already there, but have heard rumours that Liverpool and Spurs are in for him this summer. He was recently rated as one of the best young crop of American players in some article that I was browsing through there. I think they said the best two American youngsters are both playing in the Bundesliga. So, yeah, have you seen him play? Do you like the idea of him?
I've seen him play a couple of times. Listen, from what I've seen, I like it, but I'm not gonna. I'm definitely not qualified enough, but to give you a full scouting report right now. But listen, from what I've seen, good. I do think, and listen, I mentioned it earlier on the pod. I would love to see us getting more attacking midfield talent into the team. I don't think we have enough. I don't think we've had enough for years. There are some young players coming through in that position that we have already. Your Reece Nelsons. I do think if you look at if you do look at what's available, I think there's more. I mean, if we're going to go for if we're going to try and manipulate or use Mislintat's contacts, I'd rather we went for the potential two year loan of Dembele from Barcelona. He'd be the one that I think could be a fantastic young prospect who would fit in quite well. For saying that, I think as you mentioned rightly, right, Pulisic, he's got a lot of. Am I right in thinking Man United are after him, though?
I think the big teams are.
Right. Okay. So listen, if we're prepared to get into a bidding war for them, perhaps young American guy could bring with him some support for. But listen, I think if we're really serious about bringing in some width and we want to use Mislintat for the contacts he has, then why not go all out on Dembele? He's apparently prepared to take some time up from Barcelona, and we sure could do with some trickery down that left hand side, couldn't we? So.
Certainly could. And just think how good, because we have a humongous North American following, and we're never going to get a Canadian player because, quite frankly, they're all shit. But it would be really nice if we had a young American player. He's got pace. He plays up front. He can play on the wing. And I've had him in FIFA. And we all know FIFA isn't real life, Jeff, but he's still bloody good. Right, question for you, Mr. Hollick, from Nikki Wilson. This has got a sting in the tail. So the first part of the question, who are our best three players?
Oh, man, what sort of a question is
you
that?
You wait to the follow-up question. It's just
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I'm probably going to hang myself here. Yeah.
He's laid a trap.
Yeah. Let me say, for me, without question, number one, Mesut Ozil. So that's going to be the trap, isn't it?
Oh, maybe.
Number two, Henrik Mkhitaryan.
Yeah.
Number three, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Oh, Jace is seething. And he says the follow-up question, and which one would you sacrifice to sell for new funds for new players?
Oh, he's... Ozil.
You want me to be brief?
That's it. Yeah. That's the answer.
Get him off the wage bill. I would say I agree with you 100%, but as this is a football podcast, I have to agree with you 110%, because in football, we always give that extra 10%.
Remember, that's a hypothetical question, and that's not going to happen, and I'm bloody glad that's not going to happen. But that is what I would do if I were the new Allegri or whoever it's going to be.
Okay. Right. One for you, Jeff, from Andre Radulescu. And I think I've pronounced that right. Another person who was watching us on live on Twitch, and he's from Romania. And he says, what's your take on Ozil having the rest of the season off? Do you think he's really injured? And does it even matter if he takes the last few games off?
Well, he needs to turn up, mate, to be honest with you. Don't worry about concentrating on Germany and the World Cup, etc. You got to play for the team that pays your wages. It's amazing, really. I mean, Martin Keown was saying exactly the same, wasn't he? The last week, a very controversial load of comments. No, he's got to turn up, mate. And if he doesn't turn up for whatever reason,
personal issues, what you've got to try and separate that, unless you know you had a bereavement or something like that, which I can't see that's happened. If he's got other issues, you really do need to just try and get on with a job. I mean, he's a footballer, get out there and play.
Can I just dive in there, mate?
You certainly can.
Can I play the devil's advocate on that? There have been a couple of German squads announced earlier on in the season when they left him out at our request. So let's consider the fact that they've done that on the basis that he misses our last two games before the World Cup, so he gets rested up. Bearing in mind, over these last two fixtures, we can't move from sixth. He can't contribute any more than he already has done. So...
Best to stay in there, just another view.
That's the devil's advocate's point.
Still got to give me £350,000 a week, though, David. That's the problem.
Yeah, I'm sure Germany will reimburse us.
And then, to be fair, Dave, I think there's a lot of people out there will say, you know, look, he's a fantastic talent, but yeah, he could have contributed more this season. I think that's the big thing.
Different argument, but yeah,
I mean, I hate to be the person that says it because it's not necessarily what I think. But there will be people out there saying it who will argue that Ozil had a fantastic 10-15 game spell leading up to his contract. He signed his new contract and he's kind of completely gone off the boil since. Now, so I'm not saying that's entirely my view and there's a lot more happens behind the scenes than we'll ever know. But to an outsider, that's kind of how it looks, right? And it has been, last season it was exactly the same. He had a 2 or 3 month spell where he was quality, went off. And it seems to be a pattern with Ozil. It happens. He'll have patches and seasons, but he does go off the boil for far too long, which is, it's a shame because if he's firing on all cylinders, we're firing on all cylinders. Unfortunately, we just haven't fired on all cylinders enough this season.
Agreed.
Right, one quick comment from Siddharth Hazarika. Is it just me or does the great pirate AFC Freddy 8, that's our Chris, look like Sven Mislintat? I think you've got a thing there, but have you seen pictures of Chris topless standing on rocks looking mournful into the distance as his ship sinks?
Please don't give that one to Jason.
That's a comment. That's a comment. That's not a question. Right, so this is one for everybody from Phil. Perhaps I'll start with you, Jace. Where does everybody want to see Arsene Wenger next season? Personally, me, I'd like to see him on this podcast co-hosting. Jace, where do you want to see him?
That would be the one. That would be the one. If only we could get him. do you know what? As long as he's happy.
So that'd be a strip bar in deepest, darkest Cardiff.
I'll tell you what, as long as he's buying the beer, I'm in.
Yeah. Hey! Fife, where would you like to see Mr. Wenger next season?
Well, who knows? If Real Madrid don't win the Champions League, they might need a new manager next season. Although, listen, honestly, where I would love him to go is to, after the World Cup, become the manager of France. I think that's the job. So many people in France want that job for him. I'm sure he wants that job. And I think a stint in international football managing his country would be the highest honour. So that would be a brilliant way for him to finish his career, in my opinion.
Because most of the French supporters hate Didier Deschamps. Mr. Hollick, where would you like to see him? Down the beer garden with you, supping Guinnesses?
Wouldn't that be lovely? That'd be marvellous. At a dinner party with me? I don't care about that. as long as it's not a club that's going into the Europa League, because that would be the worst night of all, meeting him and losing to him because he's a top manager. For his sake, I hope he either gets the France job or the Paris Saint-Germain. They're talking about him as a general manager, director of football thing. Whichever of those two he prefers, please.
Okay, Jeff?
I would like him to go to PSG and absolutely swoop the ball because I think he deserves it, mate. I think the money that they got there, the level of quality they've got there, the players, I don't see any reason why he can't. It'd be nice. I'd like him to go and win the Champions League next season.
Okay. He'd finally be able to get his hands on Mbappe as well that way, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Give him a good shaking. Right, Schwinn sent us a question saying, what was your most emotional point of the day? And we've already answered that. And a moment that was unforgettable. Well, I think you lot waxed lyrical about all of that. Miko says, give us some of your favourite moments from the Wenger era, beyond the obvious ones like the unbeaten record, Wiltord at Old Trafford, then the Adams goal in 98. Like when Fabregas scored against Milan and ran straight on to hug Wenger. Has anybody got an answer for that? Because I can't really think of any. I'm not even sure what I had for dinner yesterday.
How long have we got?
Yeah,
I just want one quick one from any of you.
Very quickly, I think, was it the first really major European win he got when we got four in Milan that night? Just
5-1.
5-1, that's it.
And Vieira was injured, wasn't he? So we didn't take Vieira.
Yeah, absolutely. Amazing night.
Yeah, it was Edu and Parler in midfield, isn't it?
Yeah, so there was no Vieira and no Bergkamp. Went there and smashed them 5-1 after losing 3-0 in the home leg. But although it was still in the group stage, exactly it's that, at Highbury,
If you lot promise to do your predictions quickly, I think we can have another one of one of your favourite memories from someone. Anyone got one?
Fabian Barthez, when he passed the ball to Thierry Henry and we beat them 3-1 at home and he pulled his shorts up and then gave the old two fingers at the no offence.
Oh, that's bloody quick. Any more? God, if you did all the answers like this, we'd be able to get through more.
Robert Pires slide tackling Patrick Vieira at home against Juventus, Champions League quarter final, slots through a young Cesc Fabregas who scores and puts us 1-0 up.
James or Jeff?
Getting sent off at Old Trafford and he stood up there in the stand.
Oh, stood up there like the Messiah with his arms outstretched.
Most of the Old Trafford fans are giving him a clap and you see the picture, there's some silly cow of a woman coming in, finger pointing, wagging, and you're just thinking, sweetheart, Arsene Wenger doesn't know who the fuck you are.
Shut up. Jeff, have you got one?
No, not really, but I mean, I can just remember when he brought Kanu to Arsenal, and I vividly remember him absolutely sitting the goalkeeper on his arse when he against Deportivo that night. You remember that? It was just a stunning piece. And to bring a footballer like that, Kanu, I mean, he was just a joke, mate. He just made me laugh every
heart
time.
Condition. Heart condition. Yeah, size 14 feet.
Unbelievable footballer, mate. He just used to bring a smile to my face, and I'd thank him for that.
Hey, two special mentions. Yeah. Pushing Jose Mourinho over and pushing Anthony Taylor over. Arsene was the dogs.
Yeah,
I have a vague remember. You know what I'm like remembering stuff. When we signed Sol Campbell on a free transfer, the press conference, I vaguely remember seeing a photo of a wry smile on Wenger's face as he announced we'd just signed the Tottenham captain on a free.
I've got to mention one more as well. The British press, you know, when he said that first time, I believe our team can go unbeaten a full season. Yeah. And every fucker laughed at him. They laughed at him. They tried to humiliate him. And a season later, he stood there with a gold one. Yeah. And that's, you know, you've got the likes of Neil Ashton at the moment. Oh, he's not a great manager. He's not this. He's not that.
That's Holt.
These people are, and Ashton as well. He did a TV interview thing. But, you know, these people are fucking insignificant in the history of football. Arsene Wenger is going to be a great. And there's got to be the time where, are you about Santi Cazorla? I don't know who that is, he said.
Yeah, brilliant.
Okay, right. Now then, all of you, want you to think about the predictions for the games. No umming, no ahhing. Leicester v Arsenal, Wednesday, 7:45. I'm going 1-1. Mahrez, David?
I'm going 3-1 and Lacazette. No, sorry, Aubameyang.
Is that 3-1 to us?
3-1 to us or Aubameyang?
Oh, dear. Mr. Fife?
1-0 Jamie Vardy.
Okay. Jeff?
2-1 Lacazette.
And Jason?
4-0 to the Arsenal.
Fucking hell, someone's been on the bloody cheek crack. Go on.
Aaron Ramsey.
Oh, fucking hell, obviously.
Oh, fuck off.
Might as well just cut and paste that for the next one. Next prediction is Huddersfield v Arsenal, Sunday, 3 p.m. kickoff. I'm going, we're going to actually win away for the first time in living memory. 3-0 Lacazette. David?
I think I'm probably going to be pretty much with you. I'll go 4-0 and quickly Ramsey.
Mr. Fife?
Last kick. I think we'll turn the style on and we'll go up there and we'll put 4-0.
And scorer?
Aubameyang.
Jeff.
Hello.
Yeah, your prediction.
I'm here. Yeah. What are we talking about? The last game, Huddersfield?
Yeah, Huddersfield. Yeah.
I beg your pardon. I think we'd be all right. Have they been relegated yet, Huddersfield?
No, they got 0-0
on the weekend.
Might be a tough old game now. I'm going to go 2-2, you know.
Desmond?
Fergie lost his last ever game, didn't he?
5-5.
Desmond 2-2. And who's the goal scorer? I don't know. It'd be one of them. I think they'll go 1-0 up. I don't know. I don't know any names of their players.
They've got a bloke called Mooey.
Well, he'll do. Mooey. In the Mooey.
Yes, lovely. Jason, follow that.
5-0 to the Arsenal.
Oh, fuck me. He's on it again. Is that Ramsey?
No. Pierre.
Right, okay. Next, we've got 17 seconds for everyone to do a shout-out. I'll start with my one. It's going to go to @Gunnar, H-A-W-G. That's Andrew that I mentioned earlier. And he's from Arkansas in Texas. And he says he knows where Stan Kroenke lives. And for the right amount of money, he'll go and write graffiti on his pavement. But he's worried he might get shot. Jason, who's your hello to?
It's @Charlie, @CHARLIEE_AFC, Gunnar, Charlie George. And a quick shout out to everybody who's joined in the radio shows this season. Thank you ever so much. You're all absolute rock stars.
Yes, definitely, because it's been hard at times turning up, talking about a game when you've been absolutely humiliated, but no one lets us down apart from Chris. But he's allowed to, because he invented it. Mr. Hollick, who's your gentleman's nod going to go to?
I mentioned earlier that I would give a second shout-out to my old mate Dizzy Gillespie. He's not on Twitter as far as I know, but he is on Facebook. So if you see Tony Gillespie, you see a guy who used to be out in Spain. He's now back living in Preston, I think. That's the boy. He is a boy too.
Lovely job. Mr. Fife, anyone you'd like to say hello to?
No, not really.
Fair enough. Jeff, anyone you want to give a gentleman's nod to or a little tickle?
Yeah, fan. Very, very loyal fan of the podcast. A guy that I think we all know. Got an old fella called Peter. Been getting an Arsenal fan since 1953. He runs under Gunnar 1947. Always a good follow. He's a lovely, lovely man. And, get following him.
Usually found somewhere nice and warm. Lucky man. Right. Thank you
very
much.
He lives in Wales as well.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Don't interrupt me. This is the end bit. Are you ready, listener? Here we go. Thank you very much for joining me, gentlemen. We are only 2 minutes over our scheduled departure. Do you want anyone to say goodbye?
Bye-bye.
Well, I'd like to say bye-bye, and you failed to match my 90 minutes, Dan.
Oh, fucking ruined it, haven't I? Right, the ABW Love Boat is leaving at platform 2. Cheerio, Gooners. Thank you very much for listening, and the radio show is back tomorrow night, and then the final one of the season for regular games is on Sunday. Then they're going to do one more final radio show, which is going to be everyone crying and calling Jason names, and that will be announced at a later date. Follow us all on Twitch. Honk, honk, mother truckers. Bye-bye. Hoi, 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 cheeky monkeys. And here's a little bit of shenanigans from before the podcast started. Hey there, David.
You can't hear me, can you?
Yes.
You can?
Yeah.
Oh, I got a problem then.
Why?
Because the headphones aren't working. I can hear you through the computer, so there's got to be a setting somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I've just done, Dave. It's definitely the set. Is it a Mac?
Yeah.
Yeah, go to the sound settings.
Oh, look, Jeff asked the tech advice. Jeff,
give me a moment, for fuck's sake. Don't say nothing.
Somebody fucking record this.
Wait, it must really fucking blow up, mate. Watch it, Dave. You have the old wheel round after you. One of the two.
Go on, Jeff, talk him through it.
Go to settings and then sound, and your headset should come up.
This is all wrong at the moment. Ah, here we go. Sound, headset. Sound. There's sound.
Output, input.
And here's some more shenanigans after the podcast ended. honk, honk, mother truckers. Bye-bye.
I will miss you. Dan, dog.
Nanu, nanu, cheeky fuckers.
Yeah. Jeff, you going to give it a get down, dog?
Yeah, go bollocks.
Right then, gentlemen, that was absolutely fantastic. You were all brilliant and you've painted wonderful pictures with words. If anybody needs to go, you can go. If not, I'll be here for a little bit.
God bless you, boys. I'm off, yeah?
Cheers, Jeff.
Cheers, Jeff.
Wonderful as always.
Brilliant. Thank you, guys. That was superb.
Cheers, David, and I'll edit that bit out, and it'll be seamless. Ooh. Don't you worry.
Good man.
Lovely.
I didn't realise it's the Eurovision semi-finals are kicking off.
Oh, I love Eurovision.
Apparently, my bloody friend is only getting married on the weekend, so I'm going to miss it for the first time in years.
I've watched every single one since about 1982, and I love them, and I'm not even a little bit gay.
I'm still furious that Moldova didn't win it last year. You know the guy who had the trumpet?
I vaguely remember, but my favourite one ever, apart from the bloke who did the thing with a silhouette background where it was joining in with him, my favourite one ever was the Milkmaids. That one was saucy, proper saucy. Remember it?
What year was that then?
About 3 or 4 years ago, and they're all dressed in lederhosen.
Oh, that was the Poland one when they were like pretending to. When they were like rinsing clothes,
that was a thing of beauty.
Yeah,
but naughty, I love it. I don't care how bad it is. I just love some of the songs are really, really good. But I was watching the Eurovision disasters, 3 hours of it the other night, and there was some right old nonsense going on there. Do you remember that one where we had and the backing track was played at like 1.5 times speed, and they were trying to keep up with the backing track by singing quicker?
Yeah. So last year there was one where Romania had an entry and it was a lady yodeling. And this is when I realized I was old. So there was a lady yodeling and a guy rapping. And, you know, so I was just having a look through, browse through all of the, you know, everything I was reading up on Wikipedia about all the entrants. And I looked at her age and it said 88, which is the same year as me. And I was like, bloody hell, Christ, if things don't work out with my fiance, I've got a fallback plan here. And then I looked closer and it actually said 98. And I was like, ooh, not good. So it turns out she's actually 10 years younger than me. So
That's Sian's. Sian's 98. She's 20 at the end of this month. No longer a teenager, so she has to stop being a stroppy twat. What are we going to call this then, gentlemen?
Au revoir, Arsène.
Merci, Arsène, or...
No, you can't call it, man. That's what everyone's using those words.
No, you can't. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I have one word for you. I will miss you. Pretty sure that's four. Yeah, pretty sure that's four words, Arsène.
Did you say that? Was that his words? I will miss you. Yeah, we called it that then. So this will be...
I will miss you. Yeah.
I don't even know what show number this is. We've done so fucking many. This will be... okay, so this is 241. And this is what it will look like, 241. I will miss you.
I think it was a good podcast. Do you think that looks?